It's Morning Edition on 90.7 WFAE. I'm Marshall Terry. The general election is a little less than 90 days away after, well, some would argue this election season started 4 years ago. Perhaps our next guest would agree with that. He's political science professor Michael Bitzer of Catawba College and also WFAE's political analyst. We'll talk to him every Friday through the general election. Professor Bitzer, welcome.
It's great to be with you.
So are you tired yet of all this?
You were right when you said it probably started 4 years ago. It did start 4 years ago. I'm teaching campaigns and elections this fall, and that's the first lesson that I tell students is as soon as we have one presidential election, we start the next one. And it is just this vicious cycle.
Well, let's focus on this election for now. Governor McCrory is he's a more familiar sight at Donald Trump rallies. He was at this week's Trump event in Wilmington, for example, and I'm sure that was to the delight of his challenger Roy Cooper's campaign, given the controversy that erupted from that event. And I'm talking about the Second Amendment comment that Trump made. Yeah. Is it to McCrory's advantage or disadvantage to campaign with Trump?
I think it plays to both an advantage and a potential disadvantage. It feels like both campaigns, the McCrory and the Cooper campaign, are really looking at this year's election as a base strategy, meaning that self-identified strong partisans who will vote for their party 99% of the time be the typical reliable voters who show up, rather than the pure independents who tend to split down the middle and may or may not show up, is really how both campaigns are looking at this. The danger with tying to a presidential campaign is that the top of the ticket is an unknown quantity in terms of what happens at that level. Could it potentially trickle down? We've talked in the past about presidential coattails, and those tend to be when presidents pull members of their party into office. The danger with the Trump campaign this year, and we've seen it this week with his actions in Wilmington, his speeches, his calling President Obama the founder of ISIS, that could potentially have a trickle-down effect and could negatively impact both McCrory and potentially Richard Burr as Republicans running in competitive statewide elections.
We don't like to do a lot of reporting on polls, but one released this week was notable because for the first time it showed Hillary Clinton with a small lead, albeit within the margin of error. North Carolina is a toss-up state, but did that poll surprise you?
It doesn't surprise me, and I think we are entering this kind of competitive coin toss type of an election here in North Carolina. If you take the averages of the polls from something like Real Clear Politics, basically it's a 44-43 race between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. I have to think that this is the pattern that we're going to settle into, but the big issue is Donald Trump has to have this state in his win column for any hope to win the White House. And while the national polls tend to be more about the horse race and the general mood, really it's important to stay focused on the state polls and what they show in terms of a general pattern moving into October and November.
Well, related to the notion of North Carolina being a toss-up, I want to look at third-party candidates for a second, with many Republican leaders saying they're not going to support Donald Trump this fall, and with both Trump and Clinton having high negative ratings. It does seem this year is ripe for a third-party candidate. Is that true? Is there any evidence that Libertarian Gary Johnson or the Green Party's candidate Jill Stein are becoming more relevant in the Carolinas?
I think certainly the dissatisfaction is giving ample opportunity for third parties like Libertarians and like the Greens to make some headway. The likelihood and the typical pattern that we see is this summer flirtation with third parties, but that usually disappears by October. Back in 2012, Gary Johnson, who ran again as a Libertarian, got barely 1% of the vote in North Carolina. The question I have is, could 40,000, could 50,000, could even more of those votes that go to Johnson or a combined Green Party like Jill Stein candidacy, could that tip the balance here in North Carolina? It very well could. I think the big question is, can Gary Johnson, most likely of all the third party nominees, get to 15% for a threshold to get on the stage of the presidential debates? But it is a long mountain to climb for third parties, and typically they tend to be the spoilers.
Why is it exactly that Johnson seems to have such trouble gaining credibility. I mean, he is, after all, a former Republican governor.
He's a former Republican governor of a Democratic presidential state. So you should think that he would have the best opportunity to present a compelling case. The problem is libertarians tend to pull from both sides, both Democrats and Republicans, but for different reasons. Libertarians are on fiscal issues very conservative, want government out of the economy. On social issues, they are very much government stay out of things like gay marriage and regulating marijuana. But that only appeals to a small segment of Democrats and Republicans, and the fact that we are so partisan and so baked into our political affiliations that even with those temptations, the likely is folks are going to go back to their respective party bases.
That's Catawba College political science professor and provost Michael Bitzer. You can also read his analysis on WFAE's politics blog, The Party Line. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.